Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Our next guest is J.C. Seneca. He was elected the Seneca Nation Cattaraugus Counselor, and he joins us now. J.C., good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing well, J.C. Before we get to other things, I want to ask you, you just came back from the Can-Am lacrosse tournament as someone who played lacrosse in high school. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I got to travel over to Oahu in Hawaii and play lacrosse against a lot of teams from across the country and in Hawaii there, and it was a great experience. You know, I haven't played lacrosse organized in many years, and to be able to be included with a bunch of men that I was playing with and the camaraderie that we had, and it was just a lot of fun to be able to play lacrosse. You know, they're an indigenous country of Hawaiians and right at the foot of, you know, the big volcano there. So that's pretty awesome.
JC, how did you do?
We did well. You know, we represented well. We played hard. But it was all about having fun and also carrying a message in regards to Every Child Matters, the boarding school issues that come up in regards over the last couple of years. Our uniforms that we wore through Fierce Lacrosse and Ryan Jimerson put together, we carried the message of Every Child Matters, and just letting everybody know, you know, that it's something that we're dealing with, that we need to deal with, and that people need to know about the history of the boarding school era in Canada and in the United States.
JC, a month ago, you were elected as the Seneca Nation Cattaraugus Counselor. Can you explain to the listeners what the role of the counselor is?
Yeah, the role of a counselor is basically, in our government, we have the three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. And so the legislative branch is the role of the council. We have on the Seneca Nation, 16 counselors, 8 from each territory, the Allegheny Territory and the Cattaraugus Territory. And so what we do is basically is the lawmaking body of the Seneca Nation. We deliberate, pass laws and resolutions to further the benefit to help our people every day.
And, you know, now this would have been before you were elected, but I'm sure you have some thoughts on this. You know, a few months ago, Governor Hochul froze the funds on the Seneca Nation to release funds to put toward the new stadium. How was that received? And where is the relationship with the Seneca Nation and the state of New York?
Well, it wasn't very well received at all. You know, that was really the state playing dirty pool. And they should have allowed the process to work forward, continue. There was dialogue at the time, as I'm told, in regards between the state and the Seneca Nation. And, you know, by what the state had done, really has left the bad feelings between our people and the state of New York and the governor. So, you know, it's up to all of us to try to understand what transpired and how we can, as sovereigns, move forward together to try to, you know, work together, because there are some pressing issues out there. One is the compact that's needs to be worked on this coming year. We need to have that in place. You know, as I was listening to your previous conversation with the congressman, you know, how the United States Congress has stepped in regards to avoiding the strike, you know, to protect jobs, protect the livelihood in, you know, the United States. Kind of on a different spectrum, that's kind of what has to happen here. You know, the state has to come forward, negotiate in good faith, and let's get this compact resolved in regards to what the Seneca Nation wants and what's best for the Seneca people. Because if not, you know, it could be have devastating effects, not just here on Seneca Nation, but throughout the Western New York community, because we employ thousands of employees that are non-Indian that work within our casinos, and also the vendors that supply products to our casinos for everyday use to do business. That could have devastating economic impacts on Western New York. And really, I call on the governor to step forward and to spearhead these negotiations to get things done in a quick fashion, because we don't have much time, and time is of the essence. And that's, I think that's what needs to be done. What happened in the past, we'll have to deal with at some point. But I think, you know, what's in front of us is certainly getting this compact in place so that Seneca Nation can continue to do Class 3 gaming here in Western New York.
Now, does that mean an invite to Albany? Have you been invited by the governor to Albany or by elected officials in the state of New York to Albany to have these discussions? Or have these discussions kind of stalled over the last few months?
Well, since, you know, I've just been in office just a few weeks now. But, you know, there are discussions that are going on. They're not being very productive. And that's why I think, you know, the governor needs to insert herself into this process to be able to be at the table, to be able to move these things forward so that things can get done, because we need a decision maker at the table. Certainly, our team that we have together has been doing a great job in regards to keeping the process moving forward, but it has to work on both sides. You know, we can't be the only ones that are dealing in good faith. The other side has to deal as well. And we need a decision maker at the table, and that's the governor.
This will be your fourth time serving as councilor in the last four decades. Was there a pressing issue that made you want to run for this position again, that you want to, you beside the casino compact, that you wanted to be back in this position?
Yeah, you know, I just want to send out the gratitude and thanks to all the Seneca people that came forward to me to encourage me to run, and former leadership. The conversations that I had with the former leaders of the nation, encouraging me to run, you know, that's kind of was, I was undecided, you know, and very happy with my life, what I'm doing today. But there was concerns in regards to the drug problem that we have on our territory. And certainly, you know, with the compact and our financial stability within our nation, those were things that I thought that, you know, I could help with. And that my leadership and experience in government over the last, you know, many years would be able to, you know, help this council and our people have, you know, a good future and be able to make some good decisions here to help make that happen.
Now, JC, you were also selected number 24 by Business First for the Power 100 Business Leaders of Color. Tell us a little bit about your business and what it means to be on that list.
Yeah, what an honor. You know, what a surprise. You know, not that we all want to try to get ourselves on a list, you know, or anything, but, you know, I'm very thankful to Business First to recognizing, you know, the work that I've put in over the years and the people that have worked with me and worked for me over these many years. You know, it's not just myself that achieved these things, but it's everybody that works with me in my business to be able to get recognized for honors like this. So, but yeah, you know, it's a great thing, and I'm thankful for that. And so my business, basically, you know, I started back in 1987 on the side of the road, and the opportunity was here. I started selling cigarettes on the side of the road, and we kind of evolved over that time in regards to building a truck stop, gas station, expanding beyond that, you know, to a business that is a major player in the trucking industry, just off exit 58, the Silver Creek exit on the I-90. And we provide, you know, a restaurant, fuel, diesel fuel, a convenience store, Also a cigarette manufacturer licensed by the TTB, a federally licensed manufacturer to produce our own products. We have our own trucking company. We haul our own motor fuel every day. We go to Pennsylvania and back to bring our fuel. And we employ just around 100 people. And the way I look at it, that's we employ 100 families. And so, you know, there's a big responsibility to that. And additionally, of course, I have my own 501c3 charity organization called the J.C. Seneca Foundation. And we work on a very many different issues that happen within our community to try to help do different things, whether it's in the diabetes or child abuse, alcohol and drug addiction. And now we're working with my wife's organization, It Takes a Tribe. Her name is Nicole, and she put together this foster service project that we've been helping and working together with. And that's been really a great thing. And my wife and I are also foster parents. So, you know, it's been a great journey, and very thankful and grateful for everything that we've been able to do and everything that we have.
JC, before I let you go, I want to go back to the relationship with the state, because I had a question and I completely went over it. Because for years, we know on the 90, there was that stretch of the 90 that was neglected. You know, it was the worst part to jump to drive on. You had the speed limit had to go down 10 miles an hour. Now, we know that the state finally worked on that. Do you know how we got to the point where the state finally worked on that 90 patch? Because it seemed to be the 90 patch right in front of the territory. What was that like, and how did we get to a point where the state finally decided to do the repairs?
Well, you know, I think it's the Western New York delegation had to get together. You know, Tom Reed was one of the guys that spearheaded that. I think Congressman Higgins also did that, and other you know, folks in the area. I believe Tim Kennedy had something to do with that. You know, that's what it takes. They had to come forward and basically try to push Albany into doing something about it. And, you know, it was unfortunate that, you know, Governor Cuomo at the time was taking the tack that he had in regards to, you know, his positions in regards to Seneca Nation, which was certainly not the right thing to do, and not the way that he needed to do business and approach the issues that we were facing. So, you know, I think, again, almost like that rail strike you talked about earlier, others had to step in to force the issue in regards to getting those roads repaired. And that just shouldn't be. You know, relations between us, even though we're not going to agree all the time, whether it's the state or Seneca Nation or other Native nations here within New York, we have to be able to find a way to communicate and be at the table to discuss the issues of importance and find a way to work together and get things done.
And JC, tonight is the Buffalo Sabres are hosting Native American Heritage Night. You will be in attendance. What you're looking forward to that? And what is the important about the customs, and what do you want people to know about Native American heritage? What do you want the Sabres to illustrate tonight?
Well, I think, you know, we appreciate the professional sports teams here in Buffalo recognizing that. You know, I think the Bisons have done it, the Sabres, the Bandits, you know, all of them, they have done what they do. And the importance of Native American Heritage Night with the Sabres is just that. It comes from the foundation of the Sabres. You know, when the Sabres became an NHL team and Seymour and Gene Knox put this team together on the Sabres uniform, of course, the emblem, of course, the Buffalo and the Sabres, but the red dot in the eye of the Buffalo was to be in significance and recognition to our Native American community. I don't know if many people know that, but the red eye on the Buffalo of the emblem of the Sabres was put there for that reason. And so the Sabres and this the Knox family has had from the day one commitment to Native American community. And I'm so thankful for them. I was able to be friends with Jean Knox. And if she's listening, I want to say hey to her. And she's an awesome person. And you know, it's just a sense of pride and our culture, our heritage, our traditions and customs, and you know, everything that who we are and what we stand for is you know, something that we want people to know and something that we practice every day, and is just very important. And you know, going back many years ago, back to the late 1700s when the United States was being formed, and the relationship between the Haudenosaunee and the United States and them mirroring and using components of what we did as a democracy within our government and use it as a template for the United States Constitution, you know, we have that relationship like no other within this country in regards to those types of things. And, you know, the important things are these treaties that we've had. You know, we have a treaty, 1794, the Canandaigua Treaty, with the President of the United States, George Washington. And so going back in that history, there's been a lot of history between the United States and the Haudenosaunee. And certainly that's still relevant today in 2022. And we want people to know that. We want people to understand that so we can live with each other within respect and have peace and harmony with each other and with our neighbors.
J.C. Seneca, thank you so much for joining me today. Congratulations on your election. And, you know, as things develop or lack to develop, I hope you come back and update us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. Anytime, be glad to come back. Great talking with you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.